Warning, this podcast is no way associated with Fox or the production of Hell's Kitchen. Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Real Eats. I am Kelsey Murphy here with my good friend Pete Ferrero, and we are here to give you the inside scoop, all the drama, and break down every single detail and exclusive interview for Hell's Kitchen Season 22, The American Dream. Hey guys, welcome to The Real Eats. I am Kelsey Murphy here with my good friend Pete Ferrero, and we are here to talk to the latest eliminated contestant from Hell's Kitchen. Hi there.
Hi everybody, how you guys doing today?
Not good to see you. I mean, it is good to see you, but also not good to see you because as Kelsey said, we were both rooting you on.
Yeah, everyone was rooting for me. Definitely took a quick turn, a really quick turn inside of Hell's Kitchen. That's for sure. So
yeah, things seem to be going. Yeah, things seem to be going really well for you. Thus far.
I feel ever since like episode one, like we had been making strides and things were looking up and up, and then boom.
So what do you think the boom is? What do you think happened?
Yeah.
So much happened. And
was it the tape and confetti? Is that the boom?
That started. That was like the ignition of the boom. That was like,
was that the starting of the boom?
Tick, boom. That was the tick.
There was another tick.
And then, yeah, last night was, we're boom. The confetti definitely, it was an eye opener because of course I was there in the moment, but to see it played out on reality TV and then to see people's reaction and their opinions on it, to see the different views of it versus how I felt versus how it's together. So the confetti definitely started it for America, for sure. Yes. I just, even out of the gate for me, like it's a competition. So every day in there is a tick. Every dish you present to chef is a part of that tick, you know? So it's just a matter of how long are you going to tick through? So I think it escalated for me more than people could have imagined.
The subject of the confetti, what is your version of the story?
Well,
that's what this is for. This is for you to tell your version.
Your truth.
My truth of it, honestly, like watching it and it happening, like I think it happened faster than me watching it. So to see, like I say, how it came out, I'm like, it all happened so fast. Like, you ever seen the meme with the lady, you know, like the cackles, you see like all the cylinders and like you're trying to think like, okay, I know I'm on TV. I know this is happening. This is a competition. Nobody's around. There's really cameras here. Like, so you're trying to think of worst case scenarios. Everything's happening so fast. Chef Christina is coming around the corner. So it's just like, you don't want to disappoint her, but screw these girls. It's just like team versus personal. It's just a lot of pulling and tugging emotionally on a daily basis. So the confetti truth, it was confetti. Truth, I wanted to lie. Truth, I even said it on one of the episodes, it's confetti. However, it's, you know, it's all of that. It's emotions. It's competition.
Well, and you would hope like in that, you know, in that moment, you had already stayed back to help your teammates. You know, you would hope that in that moment, your teammates would then rally around you and say that was us in the situation, I would have said the same thing. Like, you know, like be a real human, you know, in that.
And like reading comments, of course, you wanted them to lie for you. I never lied. I never wanted them to lie because of course, I'm in the dining room, they're in the kitchen, we're all spread across taking care of this one challenge. So, of course, I'm the one it's zoomed in on. It wasn't a poll like, hey guys, how do you want to handle this? You know, and I tried to protect my team and it wasn't shown that way. And so that's why I wasn't humiliated, but I was upset. Like, you know, like we're not being a team right now. Like everybody, I would never lie to you, Chef Christina. And that's not the case. Like,
yeah, you're like, no, come on.
Judge, and that's not what's happening. Like, you don't even know. You didn't even see. Like, but okay, pick your battles, pick your team. Like, whatever. And it's like you said, I chose to stay with them that day. In my head, I'm like, okay, I'm here. We're gonna get through this. Like, screw the the badge, we're here, but no. And yeah, didn't happen that way.
What is it like going from watching someone else do something like that on television to being at the center of the controversy?
Watching which part?
Like the whole confetti thing, and also generally speaking, like, to, you know, you've seen the show before, I'm sure, and you've thrown down at the television set at someone doing something, and now you're the person that people are throwing down about. What is that perspective like?
I'm choosing my words wisely, but I think it's a very obvious thing right now. Jason and his ego.
Yeah.
It has been obvious since the moment he's opened his mouth this season. And the one episode I am created as this princess, the narrative of me is like, how dare she? How dare she wants to win? How dare she enjoy like being in the top seat every weekend on a competition when it comes to cooking? How dare Melissa act like this with her team? Like, so it's really an eye opener to see. I don't want to say it's sexist, but that's how things are with women. You know, I'm aggressive, and that's not the case. I supported my team, but also I stand alone in this because this is a competition. So it's interesting to see the ego narrative be played so quickly.
Yeah, and it, you know, like a woman who is strong comes across as aggressive, you know, and it's not the same when it loves yeah. when it comes to
so
men.
I think
and
the viewing of it is like, wow, really? So
yeah, and you'll always get, especially from outside commentary, if you look at, you know, like forums and message boards and all this stuff, it's always going to be worse when a female is, you know,
and it's a male-dominated industry. Yeah,
it's tough.
The thing is, too, like, you're very likable, though. Like, you know, you come across on television, you're a very likable person, and people are getting behind you and rooting for you. Where, and I'm so sorry to say this, but I don't think Jason's likable. Like, on from a perspective of watching him on television, he's I don't know if that's what he's trying to do or what his role is or that he's given himself, but there's a big difference, though. You know what I mean? Because there's people that are literally cheering around. I do not think anybody is cheering Jason on.
Definitely. And I think that's a lot of it. Of course, there's people in my corner. I am very strong. I'm very opinionated, but I'm introverted. Like I said, day one, I am a nurturer, but it's business as well. So yeah. I am a small person, like with a big personality. So I don't intend to be likable. This is just who I am. And I stand behind what I stand. So I don't think there's anything wrong with being likable and having boundaries or, you know, however you want to include it. But I just think it quickly changed. And that's just not who I was that night of service. So to see how it was put together, it was just like, wow, I look like a troop, you know, and it's just like, it's not.
Let's dive into this a little bit more. Let's talk about service. Let's talk about what happened.
Truth or production? I mean, because
no, always truth. Always truth.
Truth for me. I think it was a build up because my friends looked for me every episode, and it was like I was there. But I just think the editing had to create this moment respectfully. Like I shined respectfully, and it sounds so bad because that's what they're playing and that's what I'm saying. Like, but I didn't feel overly confident, but I felt surprised and shocked and happy to be making great strides. So during the competition, I am tired of losing. We're being humiliated each week collectively. I'm shining, but us as a unit, we are sucking. And that's just the truth. I'm out in Santa Barbara with the guys and you're here making bread. We all deserve to be parasailing together. Yeah. And those are parts of clips that you don't hear. And I understand. But my heart was always to wish that we were more of a team. I'm a cheerleader. I'm a nurturer. I always wanted that cohesiveness. That's why I was saying even last night, there's no sisterhood. The guys are, they're battling, but there's a cohesiveness. There's a communication that they respect each other. And right now, I'm anxious to see the rest of the season because of the communication and how it built up last night. Like, okay, I'm out. But how are we going to continue to push past the narrative and work as a team? And I don't feel like I said, I don't feel like my team had my back. They were looking at me not talking to them versus us completing the service. Paula had her food, like we completed for the first time. And this is what we do. This is how we react to it. And it was just so crazy to me because it is bizarre. For the first time we completed, we made it to desserts. And of course someone goes home, but how we get here is, it's shocking to me, honestly.
It was shocking that you were the one to be eliminated as well, you know, because, it's almost like the show becomes a little bit like Big Brother in a weird way, right? Where there's like this sort of strategic elimination because you're in teams. It would be better for the group to get you out now. And it's really less to do about you as a cook or you as a chef and what you can possibly bring to the table next week and how you can continue the team evolving and getting better.
Thank you. That is my exact mindset. Like, it's too soon to be, I'm here for myself.
Right, exactly.
It's too late. Right, yeah, like right you're now.
Still at the beginning of the competition. Like,
let's move the needle as a team.
Right.
Like, let's create a, like, because if we can't have that when it is time for service, it's about your ego. It's about me. And you're trying to sacrifice yourself from the earlier competition, and that's not the case. That we've moved on, and it doesn't even show that for me last night. But, and it's crazy because that's my game face. Like, if you know me, when I'm in the kitchen, the attitude they portrayed me is, that's my game face. Like, I am such a in the zone face. It's crazy. So attitude, I don't know, I would say, but definitely when I'm in that kitchen, don't mess with me. The smile goes away, the hair goes back. Like
all business. Yeah.
Seriously. So it's just like, wow. Attitude, princess. Okay. That's
somebody
fine.
Called you a Debbie Downer, I think, in the episode last night.
I see it, but I wasn't being a Debbie Downer. I wasn't ignoring Danya. I wasn't trying to like take over anything, but people have to realize there's two people on each station every night. We're still in here, two people side by side. So these people aren't making these strides by themselves. There's someone on the left of them. And usually, in most cases, that's me. But I'm looking like the Debbie Downer because I don't want to talk to you. I just want to get it. And even if that was the case, that I didn't want to talk to my team.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Right.
Mm. Let's get the food cooked. Let's go. Like, that was my entire point. Like, we don't. And that's even Jason. I didn't come to be friends. So the moment Melissa doesn't want to be friends, there's an issue. Jason speaks it in. It's okay. It's great. We'll keep him next week. But
looking back at the beginning of the show, getting on and the ride, all those highs that happened. What was that perspective like for you to get your apron and to, you know, be a part of the show and then to finally see Gordon for the first time and all that? That must have been amazing.
Honestly, it's very humbling. It is the most humbling experience. They sought after me, honestly, on Instagram. So just from day one, it's just like, wow. So I think however it ended for me, the beginning, Melissa, and how it started, and truth be who I truly am at core, I'm so humble. I'm so thankful because I know my experience. I know my background. So to be put on that platform, to be with those people, to get that far into that room, hands down. So first night to make a four, then to get the punishment pass.
Right.
Then it's just like every day it's like, you go girl. So how dare I not be excited for myself? How dare I not pat myself in the back throughout the episodes? Because I was so shocked with myself. And so the takeaway, believe in yourself, like no matter what, like I may have came out cocky, but the little girl in me deserved every tick of that experience, honestly. And I just wish, you know, like I wanted everybody to feel that because that was the platform we were on, and coming out of COVID, like it meant so much to me.
Yeah, when you guys filmed and everything, it was like exactly. so long ago. So like the mental space, you're just like, gosh, I needed this, you know, like to
no, absolutely, because I was in restaurants prior to COVID, then COVID. So you're trying to pivot. Who am I now? Like I have this knowledge, I have this background. How do I survive? You know? And so now I'm a private chef. I'm a personal chef. I'm trying to create avenues for me. And then to be put with people like that feeling is amazing. And then with Gordon Ramsay, you have great mentors like. How dare I shit on this opportunity? No, I am going to come in here and shine, period. And I apologize.
No apologies needed. I mean, exactly. Ever, you know, like, yeah, there's, and that's everyone else's problem if they can't, you know, understand.
Yeah, we're hitting peak.
Problem with it. You know, it's like, no, I'm not going to apologize for that. That's a once in a lifetime experience and something that no one can ever take away from you. Like Gordon just saying that your dish was amazing is something you can always hold close to you. Like, I mean, every time that was told to me by him, I was like, oh my gosh, like, check, I'm good.
That bubbliness, how dare you? But of course, you know, there's always room for improvement as well, but right. you soak it in for the moment and yeah.
Right.
What's next for you, Melissa?
What is next? The people want to know. Honestly, when I kid you not, I probably shouldn't even say this. I'm just riding the wave. I am so riding what the universe, God, everything is moving in this, because Hell's Kitchen was a wow factor for me. You know, it's just like somewhere in here, I'm checking off some personal boxes. Like I said, I am a private chef, so I have families that I cater for here in Atlanta. Just trying to probably maybe do some dinner things I want to do, as far as like dinner and brunch scenes. I definitely want to do that. Being more visual in Atlanta, you know, and just be out there now.
Yeah.
Definitely would love to get up with a few of my castmates and see them outside of Hell's Kitchen and see where we could be in a collective state. But right now, I am just in shock of this entire experience. I'm glad I didn't get eliminated for cooking, even though Ego is not any better, but at least it set me up to not be embarrassed to display my name in the streets.
Right, yeah.
We've seen that too with other people and they never live it down.
Forever known for.
And that's the thing, you like, how are they going to end this? How are they going to end this? And it's just like, what did he say? He wanted me, like, I was disappearing, so I made her disappear. Like, thank
it's
you.
It's so, I hate when he says those things.
Like, yeah. I kind of forgot about all these.
So rude. Yeah.
The things that so he entertaining says. Too. It is. It's super entertaining, but I'm like, and especially because as you've met him, it's so not in his personality to be like actually that rude. So when he says this stuff, I'm like, oh my God.
Like, the shade. Like, so, okay, it's coming, so but go easy, please.
I know. Yours was kind of easier compared to a couple of the others earlier.
Please let me live. Please let me survive on the outside. Because yeah. I feel like you owe me, you know, like, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was anticipating how he was going to spin it. Oh my gosh. You have no idea.
Well, look, I think you were such a bright light on television, and you really, really were someone that I know both of us were supporting and hoping to see go far. And I don't think Hell's Kitchen is the stop. Like, you're going to be going far outside of this experience and in your private chefing or whatever it is that you choose to do. So you just have that.
Thank you.
I enjoyed watching you so much. Again, I was rooting for you, and so I was so bummed that we had to see you go. But everyone has an end. But it's just the end to that part. And, you know, you will obviously have big things coming. And I think having come from an experience similar, it is best just follow the signs that you're getting. Like, don't, you know, you don't have to stress yourself working to make something, you know, happen. Follow what's naturally happening, what you feel is the right path for you. And that's going to be the right thing to do. So.
I think that's awesome advice. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Melissa, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. We loved watching you. We're sad to see you go, but we are looking forward to all that is to come from you.
Thank you so much, guys. I'll keep you posted.
All right.
Thanks,
Melissa.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.